Finding Christ in Cinema and the Great Commission Transmission Network is made possible by the support of listeners like you. To learn more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate.
Hey, all you movie buffs out there. I'm David Gaddy.
And I'm Jeremiah Orr.
Together we are
the Theonauts. And you're listening to Finding Christ in Cinema with your hosts, Michael and Brendan.
Right here at gctnetwork.com, your Great Commission Transmission.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we crack open the tales of Beetle the Bard and discover the Christian themes in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. Why do our heroes have to take turns wearing the locket? Why does it push Ron away, and why does he come back? All that and more in 3, 2, 1... Come on in, admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode 103. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation, and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Brendan, who was that? Well, was that Michael Caine?
No, that was just somebody in the Harry Potter world.
Anybody? Just nondescript character?
Yeah, an extra.
Hey, our second week back in a row.
Hey.
This is a big one. You know, last episode, number 102, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, Ultimate Edition, was our longest episode ever.
I knew it.
It was, well, 5 minutes or maybe like 30 seconds or something, but it did. It took the cake.
Good.
But we took a 2-month break, and so we had a lot to share with folks.
Yeah, we had to catch up on a lot of stuff.
The regular...
Oh, excuse me. That's my Pokemon going on.
Oh, did you find a Pokemon here in the studio?
I've already caught 3 being here, dude.
Wow. In here.
In here.
They're just running around.
They're just running around.
Are there any on me?
No.
Get them off me.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Oh, okay,
no,
good.
They like calm, still places, and, well, you're neither one of those.
So. I don't know a thing about Pokemon.
I can tell. But anyway, last week, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice,
the Ultimate Edition!
Wait, do we say the
Ultimate Edition? No, there is no the in front of it. There is no
there's no the in
definite
front of it,
article.
So.
Okay, say it again.
Well, here, hit the rewind. Make sure we get it right this
here
time.
Here we go. First mulligan of the show.
So back to Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice,
Ultimate Edition! Yes. Did you have any... afterthoughts and other things, addendums, and anything to add to it?
No, not me.
Did you think that was a good movie? Good movie for Christians to watch?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think it goes hand in hand with today's episode.
Oh.
Two great movies in a row for Christians to watch and learn from.
Dark movies in a row.
They really are. Well, what are we talking about today?
Well, today we're talking about Harry Potter. Michael.
Yes.
We're finishing.
Today?
Not today, but today we are setting in motion the completion of our admiration of this series.
Yes.
Harry Potter, The Deathly Hallows, Part 1 is what we're talking about today.
Are you ready to go to the theater?
Oh, I'm so ready.
Oh, yes.
These are dark times, there is no denying.
Harry, tell me where he is.
Our world has faced no greater threat than it does today. But you can't fight this war on your own, Mr. Potter. He's too strong.
We have infiltrated the Ministry.
You have nothing to fear if you have nothing to hide.
The longer we stay here, the stronger he gets.
I must be the one to kill Harry Potter.
We need to get off the streets, get somewhere safe.
Let's say we get undercover before someone murders him.
That way they won't know which Harry Potter is the real one.
somebody else is going to die. Not for me.
We have to do something.
You think I don't know how this feels?
No, you don't know how it feels! Your parents are dead. You have no family.
He's after you, Mr. Potter.
Tell me where he is.
You really don't stand a chance.
I got him! Help me!
What a film.
Goosebumps.
Yeah. I hadn't seen this one in a while. A few months or more. Maybe a half a year. I had forgotten what an incredible film this one is. What were your first impressions of this?
Just wow.
Yeah. It really is. The wow factor is way up there.
Yeah. First impression, it's a very lonely film.
Yeah, what do you...
I love the film. That's not a bad thing. I'm just saying it's a very lonely film. And I think of it in comparison to the previous six films where it's all been about life at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And then Dumbledore was Hogwarts. And now that he's gone, it's fallen.
It really makes you think of, like, watching wildlife documentaries and how the lions or the cheetahs or any of those savannah, those, you know, big cats are going to separate their prey from the pack, right?
Ooh, yeah.
From the rest of the people. And it really feels that our three protagonists, our heroes, Harry, Hermione, and Ron, have been separated. They've been successfully separated in order to be able to focus on them. And that, to me, that gives that lonely feeling.
Yeah.
You know, as Harry and Ron and Hermione are traversing all of Great Britain, actually. I think that they, in the books, they are actually going everywhere in Great Britain. In these desolate, empty places.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And we see it in the film. It's just bleak landscape after one after another. It's just nothing but desolation. Even when it's Harry and Hermione on top of the crag,
yeah,
you know, it's just that rocky, like, the cracks are so thick you could probably drop, well, like a Sharpie marker down there. No, not a sponsor, but you could drop something.
They're local
thick.
Though
hey, they are local. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe we can get them. Would you like to sponsor a podcast about movies?
Sure. But it's just, it's so bleak.
Yeah,
but it goes along with what you're saying with, like, the story of the narrative, the plot. It goes along with that. And when you've got David Yates,
yeah,
who's such a talented director already, working with Eduardo Serra,
yes,
as his director of cinematography.
Boy, you put those two together,
yeah,
and you get magic. I mean, you know, I don't want to take away from or to use a bad pun, I don't know.
There's no such thing as magic.
There he is. He has to show up in his movie.
Dadgummit. I thought he moved out at the beginning.
You know, that's, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that as we set up the story. Everyone involved, David Yates, Eduardo Serra, who wrote the score?
Alexandre Desplat.
Well, those three together.
I'm sure I said that so wrong.
Working with the cast.
Yeah.
They crafted an absolutely beautiful movie. Mm-hmm. You were using the word beauty in association with the character that you focused on last week for Superman or Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Ultimate Edition!
Do you remember that lady's name?
Kahina.
Okay. Yeah. And that her story was beautiful, mm-hmm. even though it was tragic.
Yeah.
But just the way it was crafted and the message that comes through. This is a dark film. They put the filters on as they're processing the movie. It's dark, literally. I mean, it has almost a black and white. And you go all the way back to the very beginning, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Michael, but, we're on the other side of the pond.
Oh,
the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yes, that's what we call it. Okay. Yeah. That movie was whimsy.
Yeah.
Just whimsical, fantastic, dare I say, magical.
There's no such thing as magic.
Uncle Vernon!
It's a
please! Metaphor.
I'm describing something. It's a good descriptor.
Go back to your cupboard under the stairs.
You know, it was just, wow, you know, that feeling of the first time that you saw Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone was just, wow, okay? That's wow factor. The same as this is wow factor. But it steadily has gotten darker and darker and darker. And now we are at, well, we're at dark times. Do you have anything else that you want to say before we jump into this?
Yeah, because you're about to segue right
yeah,
there.
That
I love Hermione telling the story of the three brothers.
That animation is mind-blowing.
Yes.
Yes.
I love it.
Yep.
It's like it was told. It's like it was told over a campfire.
Yeah.
A fire. Everyone was around, just hanging out. And granted, it was a dark time when they were hearing that story. But they had to hear it because Albus
Percival, Brian Wolfric.
Brian Dumbledore left it to her for a reason.
Yes.
Left that gift to her for a reason.
That's a big word for this episode and for this installment of the book. And just talking about that whole scene, she's telling that in the story of Luna's father's home. And it's beautiful. Everything's beautiful about this movie. Regardless of how dark it is, there's just beauty everywhere, just in ambiance and shots, and again landscapes. And but as we heard in the trailer, right at the very beginning of the trailer, these are dark times indeed. So let's have the Minister of Magic. What was his name? Scrimgeour. Let's have him reiterate what we're up against now.
These are dark times, there is no denying. Our world has perhaps faced no greater threat than it does today.
And he goes on and he describes how the ministry is still resolved to, do what they do.
Because magic is might.
Yeah. But they've already been infiltrated.
Mm-hmm.
They have already fallen.
They are already fallen.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, that ties in last week as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Thought you might like that.
Indeed. Both the Wizarding World and the Muggle World, Brendan, are on the brink of dark, terrible things. Things that almost happened, how old are they right now? Let's just say 17 years ago or so?
Yeah.
And these are those times. We're actually experiencing what was experienced the first time that Voldemort rose to power. Some even in this film say that these are the worst of times regarding these dark and terrible things. And we see, at the very beginning, we see Hermione choosing to obliviate her parents, removing their memory of her so that if they are caught, they don't even know, who are you even talking about? We've never had a child. We have, in fact, I believe in the books, they end up flying, they fly to another country. Hermione, they get it set up and so that everybody's family is cleared out, the Muggles, because they're the first to go. We see the Dursleys' home. And it's all packed up. It's empty. And the Dursleys are leaving. And it's a shame because in the book and also in the extended version of this film, as Mr. Dursley is saying to Dudley, come on, let's go. Dudley actually says, why are we leaving Harry here? Oh, Dudley turns around, man, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful, and he walks up to Henry.
Why isn't that?
I mean, Harry. Oh. I know!
Oh, I'm getting tired of these editors taking out good things.
And he goes up to Harry, walks up to him, and, you know, and shakes his hand and says something very nice to him. You know? Man, I've spent my whole life beating on you and hating on you and stuff, but I'm going to miss you. And I don't think you're bad. You know? Wow. It's heavy. And then we get to a shot of the Burrow. And there's Ron standing out there, Mrs. Weasley, and they're being Mrs. Weasley, but, you know, she's fraught because of things. Yes, that's a beautiful... Brendan has the picture pulled up on his computer.
It's my new background for the time being.
And everything is dark. You know, what's Ron doing? He's scanning a dark horizon, looking for signs of something we can't yet see as the viewers. But we can feel it. We can feel it in the very ambiance, which the director and the cinematographer set. And that cinematography, dark filters for dark times.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is, they washed out all the color. Well, except for one scene, and we talked about that a little bit before the microphones were hot in the studio here. This is the setup, and something wicked this way comes.
That's a good song.
Something wicked this way comes. Oh, that was sung way back when. What was that? Prisoner of Azkaban?
Number 3, yep.
And we have this juxtaposition at the beginning. We have Lord Voldemort and his disciples, these dark disciples gathered around this table. And here comes Snape. And we know from reading the books, we can read. Oh, the late, great Alan Rickman,
mm-hmm.
A fantastic actor, and it's on his face as he's approaching.
It's in his eyes.
Yes.
Oh. Even at the beginning when he's sitting at the table.
Yes.
And he sees his fellow teacher. I'm sorry, her name escapes me. But he sees her floating over the table, and then he sees...
We're friends.
Yeah.
And he has to let her die.
Yeah.
He has to let her die. That's collateral damage, but he hates it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. But juxtaposed to that, we see...
It's a dark movie.
Those sent to protect Harry. And it's like the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that a little bit of levity. Because Mad-Eye Moody, although he's on a mission and he's serious, you know, he's funny.
Yes, of course.
And then you've got Mundungus, who's a foul little man.
Little weasel.
But of course, the Weasley brothers, the twins.
Fred and George, baby.
We're identical.
We're identical.
After drinking the polyjuice potion.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just fantastic storytelling up to this point already. Everything that's laid out, and we know what's going on. We just, we can feel it. We can internally, we have, it's a sense. But first thing that we need to know is that this is a movie for Christians.
What?
This is a movie for Christians, and this is going to be a discussion today. Now, let me tell you already, dear brothers and sisters that are listening, so when you are sitting on your...
Double-decker couch.
And you are watching this with your buddies, your friends or loved ones, you can say, they're behaving like Christians are supposed to behave. And they'll be like, what? Because they're going to be astonished that you're going to point out flaws in these people and say, that's just like Christians. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact opposite of what the news likes to focus on Christians. We are not perfect people. What's the saying? We're not perfect. We are forgiven.
Forgiven.
Yes. And these, especially our heroes, behave as Christians should behave. And hopefully we're going to pull that out and everybody's going to see that. So, there we are. That's the setup for the movie. We get to a point where they're going to have this wedding. One of the Weasley sons is having a... Well, it's Domhnall. Yeah.
However you say his name.
It's Mad-Eye Moody's son. Mm-hmm. And Fleur, the French girl.
Fleur.
Yeah. From the cup one.
Yeah. I can't remember.
The cup of death or the cup of blessing?
No. The goblet of fire.
Goblet of fire! The
Triwizards Tournament.
Yes.
And then Hagrid's...
So, but in this dark time, they're still going to have this wedding. Why? Because it's something to celebrate, and it's going to help us all. We're going to have a party, no matter what.
Who is it that even says that outside the tent?
Well, it was Harry and
was it Harry and Hermione
and Jenny?
Oh, Jenny, that's right.
They're
yeah.
talking. It seems kind of silly to have a wedding, and Harry says. Maybe that's the best reason to do that. And so they're trying to have this levity, some well-mannered frivolity, as we would call it here on FCC. But anyway, as they're preparing for that, here comes they get visited by Minister Scrimgeour. That is strange. Mm-hmm. The Minister of Magic doesn't just go visiting people. He has a lot of employees to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But here comes the minister, and Harry said, what are we all the pleasure of this for? I think we all know why I'm here, and that is for, there's a last will and testament of an old friend of ours.
Herein is set forth the last will and testament of Albus Percival Wulfric Brian Dumbledore. First, to Ronald Bilious Weasley, I leave my Deluminator, a device of my own making, in the hope that when things seem most dark, it will show him the light. To Hermione Jean Granger, I leave my copy of the Tales of Beedle the Bard, in the hope that she find it entertaining and instructive. To Harry James Potter, I leave the snitch he caught in his first Quidditch match at Hogwarts as a reminder of the rewards of perseverance and skill.
Is that it then?
Not quite. Dumbledore left you a second bequest. The sword of Godric Gryffindor. Unfortunately, the sword of Gryffindor was not Dumbledore's to give away. As an important historical artifact, it belongs...
to Harry. It belongs to Harry. It came to him when he most needed it in the Chamber of Secrets.
The sword may present itself to any worthy Gryffindor, Miss Granger. That does not make it that wizard's property. And in any event, the current whereabouts of the sword are unknown.
Excuse me?
The sword is missing.
Okay, a long sound clip, but it was necessary. And who out there doesn't want to hear long sound clips from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1
anyway?
Especially
with Bill.
Yeah. Oh,
Bill Nye, yeah.
Wow, the voice.
Oh, goodness.
I love his voice. Okay, Brendan, you said it earlier, gifts. Who's the Christ figure in this film?
Oh, Dumbledore.
Absolutely. Albus, Percival.
Percival. Wulfric. Brian. Dumbledore. Got it.
He's left gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And these gifts are sent in his last will and testament, which makes us think, obviously, of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 17.
That's what I always think of.
Out of the NILT, New Living Translation, the will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. These are spiritual gifts, and we find that throughout the film. What they each of these gifts do, their spiritual warfare and spiritual battle, they're to equip. Whoops, there was a plosive. They are helpers.
Hmm.
So I sense the spirit at work here a little bit. Okay, so the Deluminator.
It's better that I leave you.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that are just set up all along the way in this, and we'll see that as we go a little bit further. But they have to. Well, at this after this the wedding takes place, and here comes the Death Eaters. Scrimgeour was killed. Here comes the Death Eaters to the wedding. our three heroes have to aspirate or evaporate or slapperate or what is that called?
No, disapparate.
Okay, they'll do that, and then they're here. They are. They're on the run. The adventure begins. Right then and there. I mean, Death Eaters are following them into cappuccino cafes, and it's bad. Well, they end up getting. Hey, they discover which one of the Horcruxes are. Is this locket?
Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be in the little water fountain in that dark cave.
That we saw last episode.
Yeah. Well, and
our last Harry Potter.
Half-Blood Prince. Yes. Yes, yes.
And we didn't cover that too long ago. You should easily be able to find that on ChristianCinema.com as all the previous episodes that we've talked about the Harry Potter films up to this point.
Michael T., ladies and gentlemen.
A great adventure. Getting that Horcrux from the Ministry of Magic. I mean, they go in there, infiltrate there.
Off of Dolores' neck.
Off of Dolores Umbridge's very man. Neck.
Man.
Isn't that something?
That was an intensive chase scene, too.
Yeah. They get away up one of... Huh?
They get away, but not unscathed.
Not unscathed. Ron is splinched. He's cut open. And that sets a turn of events, right? Already. And I think Ron being in the Ministry of Magic, seeing what it stands for now that it has been infiltrated, now that it is run by Voldemort.
Yeah.
Because he has, and I can't remember his stooge's name that becomes the Minister of Magic. Forgive me, I didn't look that up, and it's been so long since I've read the books. The Voldemort runs the Ministry of Magic. That's what it comes down to. And they I think that had a profound effect on Ron. And seeing how close that lady was to death, who was put on trial, and being so involved, and for a moment there, she was his surrogate wife, you know, and then being splinched, and you know, you could die from that, and cut open real bad. Hermione gets him fixed up, but they're out in the woods now. Here they are. Now they have been completely separated.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were talking about, that loneliness.
Yeah.
Now the lions have picked off, you know, the three little ones from the herd.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, moving along. So they have this Horcrux, but here's the crux.
Horcrux?
Yes. How do you destroy it?
Oh. Well, I mean, Dumbledore gave him the answers, right? I mean...
Well, I don't know. Well, Harry and Hermione are going to do a number on this thing.
Defender! Reducto!
What's he doing?
We have to keep it safe until we find out how to destroy it.
Seems strange, mate. Dumbledore sends you off to find all these Horcruxes, but doesn't tell you how to destroy them. Doesn't that bother you?
Okay, they can't destroy this with the knowledge that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so Henry picks it up and puts it around his neck. Says we got to keep it safe until we can figure out how to find it. But this effect that has already started on Ron... Actually, I think even going back to the Burrow, I kind of think that's what was on his mind as he's looking across. You know, so many things happened to Ron. You know, his brother almost got killed as they're, moving Harry.
I think it starts when it's after everyone's returned to the Burrow except Mad-Eye Moody.
Yes, and then seeing George.
And then, yeah. Being injured, like, you know, he's all saint-like now.
Yes.
He's holy.
Holy. Holy, Fred.
Of all the ear jokes you could have picked.
Humor. Ear-related humor in the world.
And Harry just decides to...
Upscuttle.
He just runs away. And then Ron goes out and stops, and he says, look, you think this is all about you? Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're the chosen one.
I got my family.
But this is bigger than that.
Yeah. They're killing people.
Yeah.
And I got a big family. One of mine almost died tonight.
Mm-hmm. And I think in that moment, he sees... Maybe not even sees, but there's a little
bit of a doubt.
There's I was going to say just a little bit of... disconnect, little disunity, a jarring in the relationship between he and Harry.
And he and Dumbledore.
And he and Dumbledore, yeah.
His faith. Is his faith shaken a little bit?
Yeah.
Do Christians experience that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So I think we got that. I think that's what's going on. And so Ron is now, as they're on the run, he's got this little portable transistorized radio. And in the book, it's so much better. Telling about the...
As always.
Oh, goodness. I can't wait till... I'm on book number two of the audio version that I talked about last episode. Oh, man. I can't wait till I get to these ones. Anyway, so he's listening to this radio. And Harry, he's inside the tent listening, and it's just annoying because it's static. You can't tune into the station strongly. And Harry is sitting outside the tent, leaning against the tent. How do you lean against a tent? That's one of the things that I... Well, anyway. And he is mulling over these visions that he's having still.
It's a magical tent.
Which is actually better in the books as well, too. But anyway, it is a magical tent. And he's thinking about these visions that he's having. But now all of a sudden, the radio is really getting on his nerves. And Hermione's talking to him. And Harry has a little bit of a breakdown.
Don't. It comforts him.
It sets my teeth on edge. What's he expecting to hear? Good news.
I think he just hopes he doesn't hear bad news.
How long before he can travel?
I'm doing everything I can.
You're not doing enough!
Take it off! I said take it off now! Better?
Right.
We'll take it in turns, okay?
Oh, right. We find out what kind of effect this locket, this Horcrux, is having on Harry. And I love how they have that high-pitched whining sound when you know that's your cue, right? To know that the Horcrux is doing a number on somebody. And as soon as he takes it off, sound goes away, and he just, I mean, it's almost like you could visibly see him brighten up. Feel better now? Loads. Much better. Well, Hermione has a solution for that. What is it?
Let me carry it. We'll take turns.
We'll take it in turns. We're going to share this, carrying this Horcrux. You've been wearing it all day. In fact, well... As later on, they're in the tent, and Hermione's doing a bad job on cutting Harry's hair, and it dawns on her. Boom, I know how to destroy this Horcrux. Really, what is it?
It's sort of Gryffindor. It's goblin made.
Brilliant.
No, you don't understand. Dirt and rust have no effect on the blade. It only takes in that which makes it stronger.
Okay.
Harry, you already destroyed one Horcrux, right? Tom Riddle's diary in the Chamber of Secrets.
With a basilisk fang? If you tell me you've got one of those in that bloody beaded bag of yours.
Don't you see? In the Chamber of Secrets, you stab the basilisk with the Sword of Gryffindor. Its blade is impregnated with basilisk venom.
It only takes in that which makes it stronger.
Exactly, which is why...
It can destroy Horcruxes.
That's why Dumbledore left it to you in his will.
You are... Brilliant.
Oh, and so is Dumbledore.
Yeah.
One of his gifts to Harry is the way to destroy the Horcruxes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. See, we see that the helper. It's good that I go away, Harry. Oh, man. Like in the last film, in The Half-Blood Prince, as Dumbledore and Severus had that plan for Dumbledore to die. And he says to Severus, right there at the moment, Severus, please, you promised that you would do this. It's good that I go away. Okay, so now, there you go, there's our answer. But Ron who is feeling left out as he has been trying to recover from being splinched. He points out the sticking point. Ha! No pun intended.
The sword was stolen. Yeah. I'm still here. But you two carry on. Don't let me spoil the fun.
What's wrong?
Wrong? Nothing's wrong. Not according to you, anyway.
But if you've got something to say, don't be shy. Spit it out.
All right, I'll spit it out. But don't expect me to be grateful just because now there's another thing we've got to find.
I thought you knew what you signed up for.
Yeah, I thought I did too.
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't quite understand. What part of this isn't living up to your expectations? Did you think we were going to be staying in a five-star hotel, finding a Horcrux every other day? You thought you'd be back with your mum by Christmas?
I just thought, after all this time, we would have actually achieved something. I thought you knew what you were doing. I thought Dumbledore would have told you something worthwhile. I thought you had a plan.
I told you everything Dumbledore told me. And in case you haven't noticed, we have found a Horcrux already.
Yeah, and we're about as close to getting rid of it as we are to finding the rest of them, aren't we?
Ron, please take the Horcrux. You wouldn't be saying any of this if you hadn't been wearing it all day.
Do you know why I listen to that radio every night, dear? To make sure I don't hear Ginny's name. Or Fred. Or George. Or Mum.
What, you think I'm not listening too? You think I don't know how this feels?
No, you don't know how it feels! Your parents are dead! You have no family!
Stop!
Finally, go! Go then!
Wow. Okay, but there... So, tensions are rising.
Yeah.
But there's a factor involved that raised the stakes here in this interchange. And Hermione tells us what it is. What is it?
It's that Horcrux.
Take it off.
He's been wearing it all day.
All day. If you weren't hadn't been wearing it all day, you wouldn't be acting like this. It's taking your emotions and your fears and your worries and your concerns and your doubts and amplifying them. It is an amplification unit for the flesh. That really is what it is. That is what it is. That was bad.
Yeah, no, it was fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. See, it's good to have an educated co-host.
Hey.
So this Horcrux is it's the flesh, man. It really is amplifying the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
As we're looking at this through Christian lenses. So Ron leaves. He's been under that influence too long, and it's been brewing inside of him too long, and he has carried that locket too long that day. He's not in any bit, he wasn't in shape to do it. He wasn't healed yet from even being splinched, plus all the other things that are going on. He leaves. Harry and Hermione move to another location, and then they decide, they figure out we need to go to Godric's Hollow. And there's that whole scene there, which is, especially at the cemetery, Brendan, isn't that beautiful?
Yep. Right, and before that nice little action sequence with Nagini.
Yes. But, and that action sequence brings them back to the wilderness, to a different location. And Hermione, she took that book that was written by Rita Skeeter, that's given them the information that Harry has needed because of these visions that he has. And talking about the wand maker, and Harry says, well, hey, you know what? Speaking of wands...
Where's my wand, Hermione?
As we were leaving Godric's Hollow, I cast a curse and it rebounded. I'm sorry. I tried to mend it, but wands are different.
It's done. Leave me yours. Go inside and get warm. I'll take the locket as well.
There you go. And I like... He takes the locket from her. You've had it long enough. I'll take it. It's my turn now. But because he hadn't been wearing it, wasn't under the influence, what does he do when he finds out that his wand is broken?
He's calm, cool. He understands.
That's it, then. I mean, what can I do about it?
Yeah.
What do you think would have happened if he had on that locket? Well, blown up.
Yeah.
We've already seen him blow up over a transistorized radio.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking his wand.
Mm-hmm.
The one that chose him. Well, okay, it's done. I mean, there's nothing that you can't fix it. I obviously can't fix it if you can't, because you're Hermione and you were the best. You're, you know,
right, right.
You're the most skilled of us.
She's better at the spells.
Yes. But give me, you know, you go in, get some rest, give me the locket. And he's sitting there, and it's getting late and it's getting cold. And then he sees it. He sees a Patronus, a doe. And he gets up and walks past him. So he gets up and follows this doe. And it takes him to a frozen over pond. And lo and behold, there's the sword.
Shimmering in the light.
Oh, wow. Amazing. And so he breaks open the ice. He's going to go down, strips down, going to go down and get that sword.
Mm-hmm.
But lo and behold, Brendan, he's got that locket around his neck.
Yeah.
And what happens?
It starts choking him. It starts pulling him away from the hole that he made in the surface of the ice.
And away from the sword.
So he can't even reach for the sword.
It's trying to break him off from the herd.
It starts trying to kill him.
Yeah. From safety, steering away from safety, mm-hmm. and is trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And he has that load of that Horcrux is too much for him alone. But he's pulled out by a mysterious figure.
Hermione, are you mental? It was you. Well, yeah. A bit obvious, I think. And you cast the doe as well, did you?
No, I thought that was you.
No, my Patronus is a stag.
Right, yeah. Antlers.
Okay, Ron. Do it.
I can't handle it. Nothing affects me more than it affects you and Hermione.
All the more reason.
No, I can't.
Then why are you here? Why did you come back?
What a scene. What a scene. Harry couldn't save himself, but here comes Ron mm-hmm. and saves him. And Harry says, oh, you cast the Patronus. No, I was following the Patronus. I thought you cast the Patronus. Oh, who's working in the background?
Well, we find out.
Yes, we find out in the next installment. But let's just say the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus working all things together for those who love the Lord,
mm-hmm.
right? So here, and he gets out and take that burden off of Harry's neck. Ron, destroy it. What does Ron say? I don't know if I can. That thing has a worse effect on me than it does you and Hermione. Then that's all the reason for you to be the one to destroy it. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful scene.
And then when Ron draws the sword, Harry, in order to, I wasn't sure if he had to do it just to catch the locket off guard, or if he just had to say, you know, speak in parcel tongue to open it up.
I think that's the case.
Yeah, just to get it to open and be more vulnerable. Harry has to speak in parcel tongue. Ron has to actually wield the sword of Godric Gryffindor.
Yes.
And destroy it.
But this Horcrux, this piece of Voldemort's soul, is going to take its last stand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ugly.
It's going to do everything it can. And Harry knew it was going to put up a fight because the same thing happened with Tom Riddle's diary back in Chamber of Secrets.
Yes.
That diary put up a fight.
Yes.
It tried to...
Well, Tom Riddle.
Yeah.
The image of Tom Riddle was the diary putting up the fight.
Yeah.
It ain't easy. So mm-hmm. Harry knew what to expect. Ron had no idea what to expect. What happened?
Well, it opens up in this huge swarming funnel cloud of the essence of Voldemort just mentally attacks Ron. It doesn't do any. It doesn't do anything physically.
No.
It says, as we heard in the trailer, "I know your heart, and it is mine."
We were better without you. Happier without you.
Who could look at you compared to Harry Potter? What are you compared with the chosen one?
Ron, it's dying!
Your mother confessed she would have preferred me as a son.
What woman would take you? You are nothing. Nothing.
What? That's dirty pool. That's what they call that.
Yeah.
Throwing everything that Voldemort could at Ron. At Ron, who is already... His defenses are down.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a rough time. A rough go, as the Brits would say. But he's got Harry there with him.
Yeah.
He's just shouting, "He's lying!
He's lying!
You know, kill it!"
Yeah.
And what does Ron do?
Well, we know before we get to what he does, let's just look at how closely Voldemort accuses him.
Oh, yeah.
He pulls out every guilty thought, every
fear.
Every fear.
Yes.
Because we see the spiders. Yep. We see the spider, and we know Ron's fear of spiders. I mean, you know, who's not afraid of spiders? But we also hear of Ron's jealousy.
Yeah.
We hear
his insecurity.
He's broken,
and that's something that we do know from the books. Also, is that Ron does have an inferiority complex because mm-hmm. he's got these brothers that are able to do things that that he feels that he's not able to do. That's why when he looked in the mirror of Erised, what did he see? I see myself. I'm head boy.
Yeah,
you know, I'm captain of the Quidditch team. And what does the Mirror of Erised do? It shows us the deepest longings of our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Dumbledore says, "A man who is completely content will look in and see only his own reflection." Yeah. And Voldemort knows all this stuff about Ron. He knows Ron.
And he knows how to turn it
yeah.
into a weapon against Ron.
Voldemort is the Satan. He yeah. is the adversary. Mm-hmm. He is, in this case, the accuser. Well, he's everything in this case.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just...
And even in what we just heard, the whole dramatic tension between Ron's feelings of the relationship between Harry and Hermione. Harry and Hermione, no, they're just friends. Mm-hmm. But Ron, and there's been... In this film in particular, there's that special buildup because Ron just happens to open up the tent and he sees Harry and Ron... Or he sees Harry and Hermione...
Mm-hmm.
walking down through the forest.
Harry's talking about her perfume. Next time, don't wear that perfume. What? What are you talking? What's going on?
Y'all two just necking in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, Ron's... He's already got these adversarial emotions bubbling up within him. Voldemort brings him out into the open.
He's really feeding on the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He's feeding on the flesh.
There's a lot of shame.
Yeah.
Going on.
Mm-hmm. There's division. There's dissension. There's wrangling
mm-hmm.
going on. I mean, they wrangled.
Factions.
Oh, my goodness. All manner of things. But
Harry's there calling. He's lying. Kill it.
Yes. Kill it.
Destroy
it. Do it. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And you have to be the one to do it. I'm here for you, brother. I'm here for you. And he does.
Oh.
And he does. And so now we got the great big homecoming, and now we can go back and tell Hermione what happened, all the good news.
What is that? You destroyed it. And how is it that you just happened to have the Sword of Gryffindor?
It's a long story.
Don't think this changes anything.
Oh, of course not. I only just destroyed a bloody Horcrux. Why would that change anything? Look, I wanted to come back as soon as I left. I just didn't know how to find you.
Yeah, how did you find us?
With this. It doesn't just turn off lights. I don't know how it works. But Christmas morning, I was sleeping in this little pub, keeping away from some snatchers. And I heard it.
It?
A voice. Your voice, Hermione. Coming out of it.
And what exactly did I say, may I ask?
My name. Just my name. Like a whisper. So I took it, clicked it, and this tiny ball of light appeared. And I knew. And sure enough, it floated toward me, the ball of light. Went right to my chest, straight through me. Right here. And I knew it was going to take me where I needed to go. So I disapparated. I came to this hillside. It was dark. I had no idea where I was. Just hoped that one of you would show yourself. And you did.
What a sound clip. And, of course, it's what is that thing called? The Deluminator.
Deluminator.
One of the gifts of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Light. Light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path.
Mm-hmm.
Let's unpack that sound clip.
Yes.
What do you get from that?
I get the one thing that brought Ron back, just in the context of the story, was Hermione's voice,
mm-hmm.
the voice of his beloved. And that love stirred him up just enough. When he remembered it, it stirred him up just enough that he was then able to let it direct his path.
Yes.
Back to that spot in the woods to where he then found the Patronus, which led him straight to Harry
yep.
and the sword.
At the right time.
At the right time. It can't be coincidental.
No.
And it's that voice that makes me think of a passage in Isaiah.
Oh, good.
I know this is your favorite.
Yes. My ears perked right up.
Hey, there you go. Isaiah 30, 18 through 22, out of the NILT.
Good.
The New Living Translation. Verse 18, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. Run. Dumbledore, he knows you. He knows you're a little thick-headed.
Yeah.
But he's going to wait on you until the point where you finally wait on him. And then let him, with the gift that he's given you, the Deluminator, let him guide you. For the Lord is a faithful God, and blessed are those who will wait for his help.
Amen.
O people of Zion, in verse 19, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for his help, and he will surely respond to the sound of your cries. Ron, you were lying all alone in that bar. You had just had an encounter with the Snatchers. He heard you crying. Verse 20. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, Ron, we know you got splinched.
Yeah.
We know you're hurting emotionally, and we know you're hurting physically. Though he gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. You will see that Patronus it's one of the teachers.
Yep.
With your own eyes. And then verse 21 is my specific point. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left.
Follow the light.
Follow that voice.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Follow that voice. It's the same thing.
Yes.
It's the love of God that Ron remembers.
The tender, loving kindness.
Oh, and dare I say, the love of the community.
Yes, yes, and
And the family that he has
yes.
with Harry and Ron, Harry and Hermione.
Well, you already mentioned Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. She is our mother.
Oh, she's our mother, Batman.
Yes.
Holy, she's our mother, yes. Batman.
I'll make you a promise. Martha will not die tonight.
Oh, that's the last episode.
Yes, 102.
Too many feels at one moment.
We didn't even plug that at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, we did. I thought we did.
Yeah, not very well. Okay, good, move on. You were too excited about this.
I know. He heard that voice, and it led him to where he needed to go. And then, verse 22, here we go.
Yes.
Then you will destroy all of your silver idols and your precious gold lockets.
Yes.
And your horcruxes. Then you will destroy
your fleshly desires.
And your fleshly desires.
Yes.
Then, because you've got not only the love of God, but the love of that community.
Yes.
You will throw them out like filthy rags, saying to them, good riddance.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
You're not welcome. Not welcome anymore. That's the spirit that we're supposed to live in as Christians. That's why I said this is a Christian movie, and it shows us how Christians are to behave.
Well, now, Michael, what makes a Christian movie?
What makes a Christian lasagna?
Same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Brendan, a lengthy reading that goes right hand in hand with what you just read out of Isaiah, but then again, what doesn't? Let's go over, we're going back to the book of Galatians, because I'm still being blown away by this book.
You're just on a Galatians kick right now.
I are.
He's a kicker.
Galatians chapter 5, let's start in verse 13. Now, you have to, you know, you got to know what this book is about. And so I challenge everybody, spend some time reading through the six chapters of Galatians over and over and over again.
It's, six chapters?
It's easy to read.
Wow.
And then you'll see what exactly is going on and with these Judaizers that are following Paul around and goofing with people and saying, sometimes they're saying, you know, Paul's not even an apostle, and so he has to defend his apostleship. Sometimes they're saying, oh, Paul sent us to tell you, he forgot to tell you that you need to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses. He apologizes for that, but that's why he sent us, and we're here to help, you know. Hi, we're the government, and we're here to help.
Yeah, there you go.
And so then the whole thing is talking about, you know, you cannot be saved by the law. You don't want to follow the law. You don't want to start with circumcision, because then you have to follow every single point of the law, or you die. You know, it's sin death. This is a bad thing. Those of us who are Gentiles and going, wait a second, he's writing to the Galatians. Aren't most of those people Gentiles? This doesn't even apply to us. No. Before you start thinking that, because chapter 4, verse 8, Paul says, and this is out of the New Living Translation, before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. So in other words, we can't say, oh, well, we were never under the law, so this doesn't even apply to us, and, you know, mocks next, blah, blah, blah. No, Paul's saying you're under the same exact slavery to your fake gods as the Israelites were to the law of sin and death.
Yeah.
That's what the law does. This is sin. The wages of sin is death. It's real easy.
It's what you earn.
Yes, it's real easy. That's what you yeah, I owe you this, and to be fair. So anyway, we get down now to, you know, Paul saying over and over again, you are free. You are free. Well, then what happens when people hear how free they are over and over again? They start to, you know, say, oh, well, then that goes without saying that I'm free to do whatever I want.
Mm.
No. Verse 13 of chapter 5. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out! Beware of destroying one another. Can we just stop there and let that sink in? I mean, I'd love to do a big fat Selah right here, but it's not good for air, for broadcast. Dead air is not good. Can I say that again? For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm thinking the Good Samaritan, right? Who is my neighbor?
Yeah, who's my neighbor?
But if you are always biting and devouring one another, Christians, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. That's what Ron and Harry, and even Hermione. All of a sudden, you know, there's a little bit of this going on. So I say, verse 16, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. How about starting with that Deluminator?
Oh.
How about...
Or just using the gifts in general.
How about Tales of Beetle the Bard?
Oh.
How about the Snitch, which comes into play in the next chapter?
It opens at the close.
Yes.
That's all we know right now.
But so does the Patronus. So does the Sword of Gryffindor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. It's good that I go away so that the Helper can come. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions because of this fight. 18. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. We love to focus on those, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, there you go. If you're doing these things, then you're bad. Oh, but it doesn't stop there.
It doesn't?
No, because it goes right into another group of things that, let's see if this applies to anybody. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy. There's a whole group right there that are just as bad as sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, and sorcery. And of course, in the real word for sorcery, let's touch on that real quick for all the Christians out there that have heard you can't watch Harry Potter as a Christian because there's witchcraft and things. This word is pharmakeia.
Pharmakeia, yes. Okay.
And what word do we get from pharmakeia?
Pharmaceuticals.
Pharmaceuticals. Pharmacy. What are pharmaceuticals? Drugs. Okay, these people, these sorcerers in the olden days were using drugs to manipulate people. They were claiming to have intimate relations, they were in with Voldemort.
Yeah.
Okay? They were serving dark forces and using drugs to make you to pliable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what that is. Okay, but there's more, Brendan. There's also, sinful nature results in drunkenness and wild parties and other sins like these. So here's a big old list that all of us are affected by something.
But now, Michael, what if we're being, you know, being a little bit hostile and a little quarrelive?
Yes.
Quarrely.
Oh, there's a cure for that. There's a cure for that.
But Michael, what if we're doing it because the truth needs defending? What if
you know? I like the saying that.
What if we're standing up for what's right?
I like the saying that the Bible or the Scripture is like a lion; it doesn't need any defending. Hey, that'll not keep you in check, won't it?
I guess
let it do its job because we're going to be told what to do here by Paul. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life. That, listen to this, living that sort of life. He doesn't say slipping, stumbling in, you know, every once in a while, having a problem, blah, blah, blah. Anybody living that sort of life, practicing that sort of life. Think of a doctor, okay? I've said it before on the show. When I ask a doc, you know, how long have you been doing this? Well, I've been practicing for 30 years. No, I don't want somebody practicing. I want somebody that knows how to do it.
Get out of here.
What does practicing mean? What does that mean in context? They do that every single day. They are a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That is living the life of a doctor. So I'm just trying to make sure that listeners are very clear that this is talking about the people that will not inherit the kingdom of God are people that live the life of sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties. People that live like that, they're not going to... Why? Because they don't want to. They don't want to go into the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit, verse 22, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Dear brothers and sisters, chapter 6, verse 1, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Here you go. Key text, chapter 6, verse 2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Take it off, Harry. Take it off now. We'll take turns. We'll take it in turn carrying this burden.
Ron, you wouldn't be saying those things if you
weren't wearing it all day. By yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We let you carry it all day all by yourself. Shame on us.
Shame.
Yes. Ooh. Oh, shame and honor society. Oh. Shame on us for allowing you to carry that burden by yourself all day long. And what does Ron say? That thing affects me more than it does you and Hermione. I have a weakness to that I need help. But what about this? Harry's being killed by the thing. Here comes Ron and bears Harry's burden. Give it to me. Goes on. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. That was chapter 6, verse 3. Now you can jump down to, what is it? Verse 10. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. That's how Christians are to live. And that is what Harry and Hermione and Ron taught us in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. Key text again. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. This is how you obey Christ. Share each other's burdens. Take it off. Let me help you. Let me help you. You can do it. You can do it, Ron. That's why you were sent here. You can do it, and I'm going to help you. Wow. Questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off the wall remarks?
No, I think we got it.
What a great film.
Man.
What a great film. We don't have any feedback this episode because, well, we released, well, we'll talk about that in just a moment.
They probably don't know that we're even back on the air yet.
Oh,
we got to tell
them. Should we tell people?
Well-mannered frivolity.
Well, I'll tell you right now that we have a new release day for the podcast. We used to record on Thursdays. Well, we're still recording on Thursdays for the time being at the very least. And we would release Friday morning. That's too much work on Brendan, who writes the show notes and things and gets the pictures ready and things like that, formats the blog posts. So we're going to release them Monday mornings. You know, very early our time. So hopefully everybody, when you first wake up, turn on your mobile device, fire up your podcast app, your favorite podcast app, and download and sync the new episode of Finding Christ in Cinema. So, what's going on with you?
Well, I got a new job.
What?
Yeah.
Where?
At Aiken Elementary School, back in Shelbyville. This is the place where I had announced...
Hand puppets?
Huh?
Hand puppets? Is this where you do the hand puppet stuff?
No.
Finger puppets?
No. No, this is where I read...
Is there anything with puppets?
No.
Oh.
What?
I don't know. No, I like puppets.
This
Everybody
is where...
likes puppets.
Oh, of course we do.
We should do Finding Grace in Cinema puppet version.
Back in FCC 93, this is where I announced that that I had read the Dr. Seuss book
from
the school.
Yes.
This is that school. And I've got a job there now as an educational assistant.
They really like your reading.
Man, are you telling
Wow.
me? Wow! I've already signed up for the children's drama.
Well, awesome. Right, so there too, an educational assistant, what does that mean? What does that entail?
I'll be helping the teachers in the classroom.
Good.
Yeah. I don't know. Right now, I don't know if I'm assigned to one particular teacher or if I'm just a floater.
Yeah.
I know one thing is that I will have cafeteria duty.
Oh.
And those kids are going to learn some lessons.
You know, this is what you do. Gather around, children. Gather around.
Gather around, children.
I love it.
So, yeah, I'll be starting that here in the next couple weeks.
Awesome. Good for you. Last episode, we talked about our plans, why we're back doing FCC and all those things. And one of them, part of our plan is the new Tolkien show, the unnamed. Well, it is named.
We just ain't telling
you. We ain't telling you. Show. Well, I got some good development going on this past week, and I got permission from an old friend to use music from his band. And this show is going to be like multimedia. Although it's an audio show, we're going to have all kinds of audio going on. And we're going to have this is going to be a really fun show. A lot of different things going on in it. And I believe that any listeners, well, fans of Tolkien and especially Christian, you know, believers are going to really enjoy this show. So we're still working on, I got a lead on, for some art, but I need to follow that up, see what's going on. And so just giving you a little update, Tolkien show is coming, but not yet.
Not yet. No,
not yet.
Still working on it.
Already, but not yet.
So what I guess what you're really saying is I need to go ahead and start listening to the audiobook again.
I would if I were you.
Okay.
But everybody always should.
Well, obviously.
Yes.
So.
Obviously.
What is that from? I forgot.
That's when Professor Umbridge... Dolores Umbridge asks Snape, so you've applied for the position?
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
But have never gotten it. Obviously.
Anyway, prayer request for all y'all. A few episodes ago, we had a gentleman leave a comment, J-Dog.
On iTunes, yes.
Yes, on iTunes. Which, by the way,
yes,
rate us on iTunes.
Please. 5 stars. iTunes loves ratings. I don't, but iTunes does, and it helps other people discover the show.
Hey, there you go.
There you go.
J-Dog is actually a good friend of mine. We went to school together, went to Motlow together.
Oh, okay.
And he, in 5 days, next Tuesday, this is Thursday, so next Tuesday, 4 days.
Some amount of days.
Next Tuesday.
More than one.
He is shipping off to Texas, to Waco, Texas.
No Waco.
To
no way.
Go.
To
take a part in their seminary program at Baylor University.
There you go.
At the Truett Theological Seminary.
Wonderful.
So prayer request on his behalf. I actually had lunch with him before I came to the studio today.
Oh, okay.
It was our last.
You should have brought him.
He said
no.
I should have. No, I didn't. Yes. I just didn't think about it.
Oh, goodness.
He even said he didn't have anything to do.
Gosh. Why don't you come to the studio with me?
Dadgummit.
Well,
if we're going to Texas to see our sister show anyway, right?
Or are we?
You know, the
Theonauts!
So we could just stop by Waco as we're going by Savoy.
Because it's on the way.
Yeah, it's on the coast.
Cool.
So, yeah, prayer request for J-Dog, for Jeremy.
Does he like the Chekhov acting?
No, he's not
system?
An actor.
Oh, okay.
He's not.
Check it off.
He was in the plays, but he's more of the music. More the music
man.
Guy. He's a music man. He's a what?
He's a music man.
He sells clarinets and the little trombones and
but
the
he
piccolo.
Doesn't know the territory!
Cash for the merchandise.
Cash!
Oh, there's the punchline. So, yeah, that's well-marinated frivolity.
Did you hear it, Philip? That was the
good old Maggie McGonagall.
There you go. All right. So that was it? No more well-mannered frivolity? No lightning round? Check it out, bro! I told you! We ain't going as long as last week.
No, we're not.
Yes. What is coming up next week, Brendan?
Oh, if we're on a roll like this already, we may as well just go ahead and finish it.
What?
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2.
No way!
Yes, way.
Co. Yeah, okay.
Dadgummit.
Oh, goodness. Everybody get ready for the finale of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. What are we going to do after that?
Oh, after that, we're going to look at what I think is the summer's only animated hit with animals, Zootopia.
There you go. Did you see Finding Dory?
No.
No? No interest?
No.
So we're going to do Zootopia. Everybody loves Zootopia.
I saw Secret Life of Pets.
We'd love it if everybody loved Finding Christ in Cinema. Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. To witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational ministry, including all 103 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Monday Movie Review, and links to our social media profiles, visit our website at christincinema.com. You can send us email. Just address that and stamp that envelope. Send it to FCC@GCTNetwork.com. Slip a pizza in there while you're at it.
Hey, we will take it.
Okay.
Call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. Or if you need to use our emergency backup line, that's 507-407-4286.
Yes.
Now, let's say you want to listen to the good old podcast.
I do.
You love duct tape.
I mean, you love duct tape.
But the air got to it.
The air got to it.
And you love to whisper too.
What? Whisper what?
Martha.
Oh, yes.
I like to whisper too.
And even if you like saying Francisco, it's fun to say.
Nobody likes that.
Francisco, that's fun to say. Does.
Especially not those three wombats.
Oh, no.
No, not those three wombats. No way.
You can go to iTunes. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to TuneIn Radio. And now you can go to Google Play Music. And search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
the Theonauts!
Get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
You know, we say our brothers in Texas, and yet we call it our sister show.
I wish you would stop that.
You know I hate comedians.
And that is a wrap! Grand potatoes, where are you? No. Grand potatoes, where are you? No!
Inconceivable! It's a trap!
Never tell me the odds.
Oh, no Pokemon?
I found a Pokemon!
You got a Pokemon!
Yeah.
I love Pokemon, they're delicious.
They go so well next to the gravy. And the biscuits.
There's a hair in the biscuit.
Go. Oh, it's a Pokemon.
There's a snake in my boot.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network. This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission. At gctnetwork.com. This is your Great Commission transmission.
Catching Pokemans all day. Just caught my third one. In this studio.